and welcome to Sunday Replay for the service at Harmony Tuluka Lake on July 28, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Miller, and this week we were blessed with a special guest, the new co-senior pastor for both campuses of Hollywood UMC, the Reverend Hannah Adair Bonner. Let's listen in as she gives a powerful message and personal introduction titled Love Over Fear. Here's Rev Hannah.
I'm so glad to be here with you this morning to get to share a little bit, to get to connect. Grateful. When I was starting seminary about 20 years ago, I sat down on a park bench next to an older gentleman who told me that his name was Dempsey Calhoun, which was a great name, you must admit. I told him that I was about to start seminary at Duke Divinity School, and he told me that he himself was a retired preacher as well. He made me promise him something that day. He said, the world is full of so many things to make people afraid. Everything is always trying to scare them. They shouldn't go to church and find fear there. Give them hope, he told me. Promise me you'll give them hope. Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. As you can see from that clip, last night I was out in the streets of Hollywood until way longer than I should have been asleep. I was there out in the streets of Hollywood because black women were in the streets of Hollywood to cry out the name of Sonya Massey. And if black women are in the streets, then so am I. Maybe because I want them to know that their lives are sacred to God and to me. Maybe because I know that my presence alongside them makes it a little safer for them to do that. Maybe because I want them to know how worthy of love and protection they are in the midst of a society that seems to be sending the opposite message in such a consistent basis. Maybe because the image of God in them has been so criminally disrespected so often. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. People all around the world saw Sonya Massey say in a video that went viral this week before she cowered on her knees, and we have some little ones in the room, so we won't get too specific. But if you've been watching the news, you know what happened. She had sensed what was in his spirit. She had summoned words up that she had learned in church for what you do when you face evil, right? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. She knew what she was facing, and she responded correctly, and she found out she was right. She used the words she'd been taught to use to protect herself, but it wasn't enough, as it is often not enough. A few weeks ago, I shared my first sermon at Hollywood campus on the same week as the anniversary of Sandra Bland's arrest and her own death as well. If you're unfamiliar with the name of Sandra Bland, she was the first black woman whose name really took prominence within the Black Lives Matter movement and had people all around the world saying, say her name. Almost a decade before we now say Sonya Massey's name. And today, all around the country, for those pastors who have answered the call put out by her family, we're having a national day of mourning for Sonya Massey. And here today, at Harmony Tuluka Lake, we're answering that call. Usually, during that first week of July, when I gave my first sermon down at the Hollywood campus, you could have found me out in Waller County, Texas, which is a rural part of Texas between Houston and Austin, at Hope African Methodist Episcopal Church outside the gates of Prairie View A&M University, which is a historically black university with a rich history of preparing leaders. My community and I have made the pilgrimage to that spot most years since 2015, because that church is where Sandra Bland was falsely arrested as she left campus before dying in custody. The year when all that began, when our work began, was 2015, the same summer that the shooting happened at the AME Church in Charleston, South Carolina, where 9 people lost their lives. The same summer that Bree Newsom climbed a flagpole to take down the Confederate flag. Do you remember this? A lot happened that summer. It was a summer full of courageous love as people refused to allow fear to control them. Several months earlier, in January of 2015, Sandra Bland had been in Chicago, where she lived, when she made the choice to answer the call of God, that God had placed a call on her life, and she felt that very clearly. So she began that night in January of 2015, 6 months before her death, to make videos to educate people about faith and putting faith into action in courageous ways.
It's time, y'all. It's time. It's this thing that I'm holding in my hand, this telephone, this camera, it is quite powerful. Social media is powerful. We can do something with this. If we want to change, we can really, truly make it happen. You know, we sit out here and talk about, oh, we need the next so-and-so and this and that. No, you don't. No, you don't. Start in your own home. Start with you. You start being that person to want to make that change. So it's funny. Whoever is watching this, you might hear the, I'm probably going to get a few of the Michael Jackson, oh, I want to make that change comment. But laugh all you want to. Say what you want. But I'm here to change history. I am ready to do what I need to do for this next generation. It's time for me to do it's time for me to do God's work at the end of the day. Because he and I know everybody don't believe in God, which is fine. But I want you to know, on Sandy Speaks, I'm gonna talk about God, because for me, he has truly opened my eyes and shown me that there's something out there that we can do. We can stop sitting around and just saying, oh, well, maybe next time. Or, oh, well, we knew that was going to happen. It's time to stop knowing that was going to happen. And it's time to start doing something.
It's time to stop knowing that was going to happen. It's time to start doing something. That moment comes into each of our lives. The question is, do we do it? At the time of Sandra's death, I was serving as pastor of The Shout, a community of poets, actors, filmmakers, dancers, singers, and activists in Houston, Texas, many of whom knew and loved Sandra. With their support and their encouragement, I would spend the majority of the next couple years working out in Waller County to say her name, to make sure the world knew that Sandy still speaks. I supported the students of Prairie View A&M University, where she was arrested, and collaborated with Pastor Sean Nickelberry and Mother Ruth Ella Perkins Jackson at Hope African Methodist Episcopal Church, the scene of the arrest, and tried to live out my belief that the hold that fear has on communities can indeed be broken with love. The first 80 days after Sandra's death, I would spend in the Texas sun in front of the jail where she died, sitting in prayerful vigil, ensuring that her call would not be silenced and that people would continue to hear her voice, asking the question that you see on that sign, what happened to Sandra Bland? During that time, men all around the county and the country sent me messages about how they would like to see, in many creative ways, my calling and my life end. In the year that followed, as the work continued in other ways, a documentarian asked me during that season how that time felt. Which then prompted a retired prison guard from this area to post a viral video on YouTube challenging people here in Waller County to come and kill us. And so he said he was going to show up with the guns, and he wanted everybody to get involved. He wanted, you know, the
children and the women and the elderly to bring slingshots and stones and to rout us from the jail, and then the men would finish us off when we ran with their guns, and it was ridiculous. But I had a choice of what to do, and so I went back to the Waller County Jail, knowing all of the context of what was going on. That was the choice. I had not been released from my task, and so I went back to the jail and took up my position again at the jail and relieved the folks that were there. And
what were you thinking when you were driving there from the airport or from wherever you were coming from?
I think that throughout that moment and many other moments, I had a deep sense of peace, because of course it's frightening. You don't know what's going to happen. But I knew that I was where I was supposed to be and doing what I was supposed to be doing. And so for me, there's not really any other option. If you know where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing and you don't do it, then it's not really living. And so why protect a life not lived, right? And so if I know I'm supposed to be there, it doesn't matter what the consequences are for being there. I have to be where I'm supposed to be and do what I'm supposed to do, because that is what it is to live. So I went back, not because I wanted to die, but because I wanted to live.
Many people told me that they didn't think I was going to live, and the weight of that got heavier every day. As I got up each morning to head to the jail, it got harder and harder to get out of bed knowing what I was facing. And you know what got me out of bed? Those words that Joy read to us from 1 John 4. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. And I just repeated that to myself all day, every day. And because we did get up and we kept showing up, things did change. We didn't destroy white supremacy in rural Texas, but we loosened the stranglehold of fear that it had over people by refusing to let fear have the final word. It wouldn't be brave if we weren't a little scared, because it doesn't take courage if you aren't afraid. Yet when we refuse to let fear control us, when we refuse to let it have the final word, something changes in the world. Each person who chooses love instead of fear makes the power of fear just a little bit weaker. Person by person, day by day, home by home, vote by vote, prayer by prayer, and action by action. Every day we have a choice, fear or love. This is why God's messengers, the angels, always announce their arrival with these words when they're calling to people, you know, to the prophet Isaiah, fear not. To Mary, the mother of Jesus, fear not. To the shepherds watching over their flocks by night, fear not. To the women at the tomb when Jesus is resurrected, fear not. When God shows up, when God interrupts our days, our plans, our expectations, can be a little overwhelming. And even if God's plans for us are good and full of love, and as Jeremiah says, plans to give you a future with hope, even when the adventures that God calls us into are good, when they are unexpected, are different from our own plans, it can still be a little scary. It can still make us a little bit anxious, uncomfortable, uncertain. So before the angels give their message, they always say, fear not. Knowing that we humans do have a tendency to do so, right? And that God does care about our feelings, does care about that, and expresses concern for that with these soothing words, fear not. I know it's scary, but fear not. You don't have to be afraid of anything. Trust me, God invites us. Here in the City of Angels, I invite you to think about what fears have you been carrying this week? Are you afraid that things will change too much or not enough? Are you afraid of all the rulings that come in our courts or the ways that tensions are rising in our nation about women's bodily autonomy, about our school system, our undocumented neighbors, about the safety of our trans children and adults, about the rights of gay people like me to get married? All these things feel like they're on the line right now. Maybe your fears are a little more personal than that, right? Maybe you're afraid to really let your friends or your family or God see all of you, all those little parts that you hide just for yourself, that you're afraid to let out into the open. And no matter how many times we hear these words, God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them, as Joy read this morning, it can still be hard when the ways that people who claim the name of Jesus have treated us don't feel like love. A couple weeks ago, when I was sharing with folks out in West Hollywood, where I live, along with some of our members, there was a young woman who came by and told us that she does not want to be trans anymore because she wanted to be on God's side instead. And I told her that there was no contradiction between being trans and being on God's side and pleasing God. I pulled out all of my best stuff, right, from decades of doing this work with having to wrestle through this myself and then help others to do likewise. I brought all of that to the conversation with this young woman. We were talking about translation and the Ethiopian eunuch and what Paul really meant, but at the end of the day, she wasn't ready to let go of the fear. That maybe that the churches that condemn her and condemn me are right after all. And that's something that we live with. It takes time to let that go. It takes time to accept the love that God wants to give to us. It takes deep, unconditional love from communities like this. It's important work. And I get that. I grew up as a girl who had zero interest in, I got to test if we have any fellow millennials or Gen Xers in the room, zero interest in Tiger Beat magazine. Yes. JTT, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, or really talking about boys at sleepovers at all. I was fighting everything about who I was and who I was called to be. And while I don't really talk about my childhood too much, I do know that there are people in this room who know what I'm talking about. People who know what it feels like to have the people who are supposed to love us make us feel like they can only love a part of us, a piece of us, but not all of us. People who know what it feels like for the places where we should feel safe and like we belong to make us feel unwelcome in the fullness of who we are instead. I read verses like this one from our passage today. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And I looked around me at people who seemed to be preaching hate from the pulpit instead of love. And I slowly began to wonder as a child why the people who controlled what we thought and taught about God seemed to maybe not have met God yet or really know much about God. But just because people have used God's name in vain, and as a side note, and maybe they should be learning the Ten Commandments before they make us put them up places, just because they have used the Lord's name in vain to promote fear and hate in God's name, which is what that really means, does not mean that that is who God is. I believe in facing what we fear, speech impediment, talking about it, dealing with it together so that it loses its power, so that you don't feel alone with it, so that we can turn the daggers that people try to stab us with into butter knives that can't really hurt us anymore. I've worked through this for decades. It doesn't really hurt me anymore. And I want all that. I want that for all of my LGBTQ kin. The ones who will never darken the doors of the church and the ones who maybe just haven't found a church like this yet. When I was in the trenches working to confront white supremacy in rural Texas, I did not feel like it would be safe to be public about the fact that I was gay, as I'm sure you can understand. I was living in safe houses, using a burner phone, and trying to leverage every bit of power that I had in this world to keep the people around me safe. Sandra Bland summoned a certain kind of courage from me in that moment. But when I finally left Texas, it was time for me to confront another kind of fear. I knew full well what could happen to me for being a publicly queer clergy woman. I come from an area where there had been many highly publicized church trials of queer clergy and those that have helped us. One of them was a young pastor named Beth Stroud, who was put on trial when I was in college and who was defrocked as I was beginning my path into ministry. It left my community in Pennsylvania feeling like there was a big gaping hole in our chest in her absence because she was called by God and intended to be amongst us as a pastor. So I knew what could happen to me, but she had done something for me that I wanted to be able to do for others, which was to love herself fully, wholly, and publicly enough to send a message to other people that they were worthy of love too, and that there's nothing to be ashamed of. So when I left Texas, I joined the ranks of those publicly gay clergy who were forcing our United Methodist denomination to change, to reckon with the power of that love that Beth had modeled, the love that overcomes fear, that love that renders fear powerless to control us when we refuse to let it make our decisions for us. The love that says, I choose life and I choose to live this life wholly and fully and invite others to do likewise. And fear began to lose, person by person, day by day, vote by vote. In June, after working with the Queer Delegate Caucus at General Conference and getting to be in the room, as delegates like Pastor Mark and myself from all around the world worked to completely eradicate all anti-LGBTQ language from our policies and our principles and our rules, every last dot. I flew back to the East Coast because we'd done something else. We hadn't just gotten rid of the rules, we'd gone back in time. And we decided to fix the wrongs that we'd done and to reinstate the clergy that we had harmed. So I got to fly back to Pennsylvania, where I'm from, and put that peace back into the center of our hearts. I got to cast my own vote as clergy in the Eastern Pennsylvania Annual Conference to reinstate Dr. Beth Stroud back to being Reverend Dr. Beth Stroud. I got to be there as she placed the red stole back on her shoulders. It was the best day of my life. It felt like resurrection.
Are you ready?
And fear loses. And fear loses. And fear loses. Person by person, day by day, step by step, choice by choice, vote by vote, each time we choose love instead, each time we said, you don't make the choice here in my life and in my world, in my community, in my family anymore, each time we say no, I choose love. My friends, this week I invite you to think, what is it that you are afraid of? What is it that's holding you back? Where is it in your life this week that God is inviting you to say, I choose love? Amen.
It's halftime. Time for me to let you know about upcoming events and opportunities for connection, service, and fellowship here at Harmony. First up, it's the annual All-Church Picnic next Sunday, August 4th, after service at the Hollywood campus. We'll have barbecue food, fellowship, and a water slide for the kids. We hope to see you there. Next, it's the return of Friday Fun Night on August 9th from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. This month, we encourage you to bring your thinking caps along with any of your favorite snacks, because Rev J will be hosting the first ever trivia contest in Fellowship Hall here at Harmony. Can your team claim the title of champions? Let the battle of extraneous knowledge begin. And lastly, don't forget our goal of raising $200 for the Hollywood Food Coalition by August 11th. This will enable us to buy over 80 pounds of basmati rice for head chef Colin Lever. Check the e-news for more information on this and all the upcoming events at Harmony and HUMC, or direct your questions to Pastor Mark via email at mark@hollywoodumc.org. Now, for the rest of our episode today, let's enjoy a song from Gaddison and the Worship Band.
Come on, put your hands together. Come on. Hear me.
Wandering into the night, wanting a place to hide this weary soul. Oh, this bag of bones. I tried with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly dying. Oh, a vagabond. Oh, and just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I am not alone. Oh, because he did. I feel on solid ground. I thank the Master, I thank the Savior, because he healed my heart and changed my name. Forever free, I'm not the same. I thank the Master, I thank the
Savior. Come on, sing it out.
I thank God.
I cannot deny what I see. Got no choice but to doubts are burning like ashes in the wind. So, so long to my old friends. Burden and bitterness, you can't just keep on moving.
Sing this to me.
Say, oh, hallelujah, I am free. I am free. I am free.
Come on, sing it.
Oh, hallelujah, I am free. And I am free. And I am free. And oh, hallelujah, I am free.
Come on.
I am free. I am free. And oh, hallelujah, I am free.
Come on, sing it out. Oh, hallelujah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sunday Replay here on the Harmony Podcast Network, produced and recorded by me, Donna Miller. This week's guests were Reverend Hannah Adair Bonner and Gaddison and the Harmony Worship Band. Be sure to like, rate, subscribe, and especially to download these episodes, which helps us to continue making content for you and all our listeners. Sunday Replay is sponsored in part by Hollywood United Methodist Church, of which Harmony Toluca Lake is the second campus. Find us on social media and drop us a comment. On Instagram, that's Harmony_TLC. And on Facebook, that's Harmony TL. Join us next week as we resume our sermon series, Living a Meaningful Life, featuring a double header. That's two sermons, one from Pastor Mark, called Be Skeptical But Learn to Listen, and one from Reverend Jefferson, titled Always Do Your Best. And as Pastor Mark always likes to say, peace.